What's up? This is Jasper from the Fungi Academy for another special lesson of after school. And today we're gonna find out if mushrooms are actually controlling us. So let's start in space.
Space is really hard to survive. It can be scorching or freezing. Ultraviolet and cosmic radiation is everywhere. Radiation is basically the only thing that is present in the vacuum of space. Yet some organisms can survive this vacuum. The microscopic animal known as the tardigrade is able to survive a journey to space for 11 days and still be alive and kicking after landing back on Earth. Just for your information here, humans can't do that. Without a spacesuit, all the air gets sucked out of our bodies. You pass out in 15 seconds and be dead in 90 seconds. But tardigrades are nothing compared to some of the organisms that life has been exposing to these extreme conditions. Life is the lichen and fungi experiment on the International Space Station. And most of what they do is put things in space and see how long they can hang out there without dying. Lichens are complex symbiotic organisms made up of a fungus and an alga or cyanobacteria. The fungus makes up most of the body, while the alga and or cyanobacteria provide the whole organism with food through photosynthesis. This collaboration between fungi and plants is so successful that it is thought to have evolved independently from each other more than 5 times over the eons. One of the toughest lichens out there is known as Xanthoria elegans. More than 71% of specimens of this species survived for more than 1.5 years bare naked in space. That's not all. This Xanthoria elegans is also able to survive a pressure of at least 50 gigapascal. This means that this super strong being could survive the first and second phases of the interplanetary transfer process. Wow, lots of complicated words, but why is this important? Because this evidence suggests that life might not have originated on Earth at all. Our planet might just be substrates that is inoculated by the fungi. This concept is called panspermia. Panspermia has many different philosophical approaches. Sometimes I like to fantasize that fungi and their spores are biotechnology engineered by an ancient alien civilization wanting to spread life all over the universe. Anywhere the conditions are just right. In my mind, they created a massive machine producing countless spores aimlessly wandering in search of a substrate to inoculate. Somewhat more plausible idea is lithopanspermia. Lithopanspermia proposes that extremophile life could survive being blasted into space after its home planet was slammed with an asteroid and part of the crust was shot into space after the collision. After such a cataclysmic event, the fungus and its spores would find themselves flying through space on this most low-tech of spaceships, a simple rock we know as an asteroid. This asteroid could hit a planet in its own solar system, but given enough velocity, it could potentially escape the orbit of its sun and roam its galaxy until one day, bam, it hits a young planet ready for life to flourish there. All right, I might go really far out here, but I don't think that even the hardy Xanthoria elegans will survive such a long trip to space. But its spores just might. Fungal spores can be considered the nearly indestructible cousin of plant seeds. Microscopic little safes filled with DNA that can easily survive space. So much so that the International Space Station is actually facing a mold problem. Marta Kortzau, a microbiologist at the German Aerospace Center, tried to fix the problem by blasting the Aspergillus mold with, and I'm quoting here, stupid amounts of radiation. Up to 1,000 gray. That's 200 more times more radiation than a human could survive. But simply surviving radiation isn't enough to be an interstellar or intergalactic space traveler. You need to be able to not die for a very long time. But fungi got that covered. The oldest viable spores found on Earth are 250 million years old. Let's imagine that bam was Earth, in a very young stage when our pale blue dot was nothing but water and rock. That the very first organism on Earth was in fact an alien fungus from another solar system. Or maybe even an alien lichen. Given enough time, a couple of billion years, for example, evolution does its thing. Life becomes more complex, species die out and change form, algae start taking over the waters, the first primitive animals are evolving. Maybe the first fungus is crawling on land. Right now, we believe that life originated about 3.4 billion years ago, and we have some solid evidence that mycelium has been around for 2.4 billion years. Although hard to find, the first evidence we have of lichens are from about 600 million years ago, while the first animals we have comes in about 540 million years ago. Yet, some people claim that this animal organism, known as Dickinsonia, might actually be more closely related to fungi. If you're open to the possibility, maybe this ancestral animal organism is the missing link between fungi and animals. Let's fast forward a bit to 470 million years ago, when these massive lichens standing 8 meters tall, known as Prototaxites, ruled the Earth. Recent evidence suggests they might have been a vital food chain and housing source for the first insects moving from the ocean to land. And yeah, they most likely helped turn the barren rock surface of Earth into soil ready-made for plants to make their move to land. The first evidence we have of plants with roots are peat mosses, about 410 years ago. But here comes the kicker. The first ancestors of mycorrhizal fungi dates back to 460 million years ago. That means we have evidence of mycorrhizal fungi 50 million years before we have evidence of the plants that have roots. A huge reason why some people claim that fungi were the roots of plants before plants evolved to have roots of their own. Nowadays, mycorrhizal fungi connect with the roots of plants in one of nature's most beautiful symbiotic harmonies, pushing forward the evolution of our planet by supporting organisms and showing us humans a thing or two about collaboration. The great thinker Terence McKenna conjured the stoned ape theory into reality in his book Food of the Gods, published in 1991. In that hypothesis, he argues that human consciousness evolved because of our consumption of entheogenic mushrooms of the genus Psilocybe and Pinellas, aka psychedelic mushrooms. Maybe this sounds a little zany, but recent papers claim that, just like us, the whole genus of Psilocybe mushrooms, aka the magic kind, originated in Africa 10 to 20 million years ago. Around the same time that humans started diverging from our primate ancestors, approximately 13 million years ago. Coincidence? I think not. I believe that fungi were aware of the potential that their ancestors had and decided to evolve a group of fungi that produced mushrooms containing compounds capable of expanding the cerebral capacity of our ancestors. Mushrooms of the genus Psilocybe tend to grow in disturbed areas, places where lots of life roams. Grazing animals lived close to our ancestors, and everyone knows what grows out of their dung. But even more obscure entheogenic mushrooms like Psilocybe semilanciata, also known as the Liberty Gap, grow in disturbed areas, open grass plains like meadows, lawns, and pastures. Psilocybe cyanescens, also known as the Wavy Gap, and many more wood-loving species of Psilocybe primarily grow on wood chips, especially in and along the perimeter of mulched plant beds in urban areas. It's almost as if these fungi are saying, "Eat us! We know you're here! Eat us!" This idea is fortified with the overwhelming evidence we have of these mushrooms helping with some of the biggest plagues of our time. Anxiety, depression, PTSD. One could argue that they want us to consume them to help us out. But maybe. Back to space. Or more so, our interest in space. We've always gazed upon the stars. It's part of what makes us human and part of what we've lost in the urbanization of our civilization. Light pollution kills the connection to our astral bodies in such a manner that when I grew up in the Netherlands, one of the most light polluted areas in the world, I was never even aware of the faces of the moon, or even able to see most of the constellations our ancestors could see. Ever since we could dream while awake, we've dreamed of the stars. You could almost say it's part of the human condition. Now, the question is, was this an accident or is this by design? If you adhere even slightly to the stoned ape hypothesis, and you know how huge a role fungi played in the evolution of our consciousness, who says they ever stopped doing this? Maybe we are not much better than the simple carpet ant being controlled by Ophiocordyceps unilateralis. Our mind is being taken over for a much greater goal, though, to get to space. To make the beginning of this connection clear, we have to talk about beer. We know we've been brewing beer since the birth of agriculture. The beer before bread hypothesis even claims that the agricultural revolution happened because of beer. Bread was just a happy accident. Beer or wine that our ancestors used to brew was nothing like the beer we know today. Before the Reinheitsgebot, the laws that continued to regulate beer brewing in Germany was introduced in Germany in 1516. Beers and wines would be a chemical cocktails of herbs, spices, and fungi, often highly psychoactive. Greek accounts talk about wines that needed to be diluted to 12 parts water for one part wine because of its potency. And this was long before distillation, so it wasn't to cut the booze, since naturally fermented drinks wouldn't be much stronger than 15% alcohol content. Because of Brian Murarescu's amazing book, The Immortality Key, we know that ergot was used in the brewings of the Eleusinian Mysteries. Ergot, also known as Claviceps purpurei, was the fungus that Albert Hofmann used to synthesize LSD-25. Tripping on a tall glass on ergot-laced beer, the philosophers of the Greek Golden Age would visit these mysteries and have interactions with the divine. Some would look at the problems of the state, politics, social studies, and others looked at the stars. The Pythagorean philosopher Philolaus calculated the sizes of the planets and the sun. And since the sun was very clearly larger than the Earth, he understood that the Earth was rotating around the sun. Unfortunately, most of the astronomy and astrology that was practiced around this time was lost. This idea of the Earth rotating around the sun is called heliocentrism. That is, that the sun, Helios, is at the center of everything. But heliocentrism didn't lift off until Nicholas Copernicus started to develop his work in 1514, 2 years before the Reinheitsgebot became the national norm in Germany, and soon thereafter spread to the rest of Europe. We don't have to leap too far out to theorize that maybe Copernicus was sipping some psychedelic booze when he rediscovered heliocentrism. Of course, he didn't even publish his finding until the year of his death in 1543 because he was aware of the consequences of such a discovery during those times. As the story goes, the Copernican revolution followed, and the rest, as they say, is history. But what about those trippy drinks? Could it be possible that there were underground brewing facilities of psychedelic-infused beer and that all the great astronomers of the Renaissance carried on the legacy of the Eleusinian Mysteries? This is pure speculation, yes. But what followed in our era isn't too far off from such a story. After the Second World War, LSD, a compound synthesized from ergot, a fungus, spread through the halls of psychology schools and slid under the tongues of science fiction writers, scientists, and astronomers. Francis Crick, the Nobel Prize-winning father of modern genetics, was under the influence of LSD when he first figured out the double helix structure of DNA in the 50s. And according to his biography, Richard Feynman, who won a Nobel Prize for his work in quantum electrodynamics, was also quite a fan of cannabis, ketamine, and you know it, LSD. Suppose these great thinkers during the age of psychedelic freedom found so many powerful ideas through working with entheogens. Do you think the highly competitive scientific scene wouldn't catch wind of this? I think, just like in the Renaissance, people in this period from all over the world were experimenting with the fungal entheogens they had at their disposal at the time. It could have been Psilocybe semilanciata or any other psilocybin-containing mushroom during the Copernican Revolution. Maybe some secret society had even found the secret recipe of the ergotized beers from the Eleusinian mysteries. Who knows? But in the 50s and 60s, there was no doubt. LSD was the drug of choice. And the space race, our biggest leap forward into the vastness of the universe, roughly started around 1955 and ended in 1975. Right around when LSD and other entheogenic substances were working their magic on our minds. Were we finally fulfilling our destiny? Shooting into space in search of our long-lost fungal ancestors? Perhaps. Unfortunately, the war on drugs came hammering down in 1971, and without the freedom to ask our fungal friends for advice on a worldwide scale, we lost interest in space. But the times, they are changing. The use of LSD among United States adults increased 56% from 2015 to 2018. And what do you know? Our interest in space seems to be increasing too. SpaceX is building ambitious plans to colonize the solar system. And in a great piece of irony, as hundreds of SpaceX spaceships take flight, millions, if not trillions, of fungal spores have hitched a ride back into space. Elon Musk himself is said to be open to psychedelics. I wonder how many of his ideas he's had while journeying with fungal entheogens. The psychedelic revolution is in full force, and drugs are rounding the curve of its victory lap in the war on drugs. Entire states are decriminalizing and even legalizing these natural compounds with help from us and science for far too long. And finally, this ridiculous aberration in our collective history of psychedelic exploration is coming to an end. So let's recap for a second. Fungi are shown to survive the vacuum of space, potentially for eons. They have the tools at their disposal to basically terraform a planet into a lush, thriving environment that could one day evolve an organism like our ancestors. The fungi then create a compound that would help that organism develop its brain, consciousness, and therefore its technologies. This evolution comes with a trait: looking at the sky to see what's out there. Our innate curiosity making us who we are. Fungal entheogens amplify this, and before you know it, this organism it birthed is shooting rockets into space, rockets filled and covered with fungal spores, ready to colonize the rest of the galaxy. Are we being used? Just like the zombie ant whose brain is taken over by a fungus so it can help to spread its spores? I'm not so sure. But I say, let the fungi inoculate our minds, and in the process, our hearts. Let them use us to get into space and spread through the universe. We will learn so much about ourselves in the meanwhile. And with all they do for us, that's the least we can do for them.
Thank you so much for tuning into another epic fungal educational experience with Fungi Academy and After School. If you want to learn more about the wondrous world of mycology, right now we are offering our Mycology 101 class for all after school students for just $7. Check the link below to learn more, and much love.